I'm Silva Harapetian. Welcome to my show. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.
Which I found to be a lie. You're not even what you think.
That's
of
a big
you.
One. Yeah. A lot of people struggle with that because particularly with social media.
Oh, yeah.
The comparison rate of, you know, and the filters and, you know, taking a picture in front of other people's jets and in front of other people's houses and in front of other people's cars.
Yeah.
And it is our highlight reel of what our life looks like on our best day or the day we spent a lot of money to make it look that way.
Yep.
That's not really reality.
Right.
And to remind people that success is relative.
Yes.
To how you define success, that you define who you want to be, and not to pay attention to what people say and
it's
do online.
Lesson.
It's a big lesson.
Yeah.
How do you have that conversation with your clients?
Well, I kind of give them a punchline, which is stop comparing yourself to the Facebook lives of other people. You're taking your everyday life and comparing it to a highlight reel that is probably fake. For the most part, right? Like, oh my gosh, they're in Cancun again. No, that's the same pictures from like 2 years ago.
They just changed clothes.
Right? Like, but we make these assumptions, right? Our mind runs away with it and thinks that, like, if my Facebook page isn't as nice and I don't have as many followers, what does that mean people think of me? Well, it doesn't really matter because that's a lie.
Yeah.
You're not what other people think of you. You're what you think of you.
Let's talk a little bit about the work you've been doing, a lot of the coaching that you've been doing when it comes to pivoting.
Yeah.
Particularly business and strategy.
Yeah.
Talk to me a little bit about what you've been seeing, what you've been hearing people say.
You know, it's interesting. It all goes back to fundamentals. Whenever hard times come like this, like when it's easy, everybody seems to want to be an entrepreneur. Everybody wants to own a business. Everybody wants to be in sales. Everybody wants to make a lot of money. But then when it gets really hard, what I've discovered is an empire built on sand will eventually sink. And so if you built your empire or you know, your business during easy times, well, then when the hard times come, you're on sand, right? So like when I made my transition from baseball into the professional world, I forged myself through that last downturn that we had 2006, 2007. Like that's where I was forged. It was in that hard time. And I didn't realize, I was a baseball player coming into the economy and I'm like, is it always
like
this
hard?
Like this is brutal.
Yeah.
And then when it got easy, it was like, oh, this is a piece of cake. And so the big thing that I'm working on with my clients is, have you mastered the fundamentals? Have you hit 300 swings off the tee over and over and over again to where your skills are so strong that you will trump the talented people that don't have the skill sets? So that's what we've been working on a lot, is the fundamentals of mindset, the fundamentals of performance, the five phases of growing a business. Or do you have those things down? If not, then you're built on sand.
Yeah. Talk to me about, you talk about the find a way code.
Yeah.
Talk to me about that. Tell us a little bit about
that. Yeah, the find a way code basically comes down to a few different steps that I've just discovered that people who are relentless and ruthless that reach the goals. Now, I'm not talking about people that had it handed to them, and I'm not hating on them. I'm just talking about people who came from nothing and built what they have. You just find that they weaponize their mindset. They weaponize the skill sets for a certain particular niche that they do, right? It's the surgeon that is a brain surgeon that is elite, that has total confidence in what they do. It's the baseball player, right? I'm watching one of the students that I've coached since he was 10 years old. He's playing for the Brewers right now. His name's Tyrone Taylor. And I went and watched him. I just got to tell this story. I went and watched him in San Diego and he said, you know, coach, I use the same approach that we've always used since we were 10 years old. And I'm watching him. I said, oh my gosh. And I was sitting next to his dad. I said, he goes, what? I said, he's going to hit a home run right now.
You
and,
knew.
And I have it on video. Boom, he hits it over the center field fence. And I mean, this is a major league home run. He hit it off the hitter's eye. I just thought it was absolutely incredible. And it's those kinds of things. Like his, and if you ask him, like, how did you get to the major leagues? How did you perform so well like that? He'll tell you it was the code. It was me having my approach. The code is an approach to business and life that when deployed makes you unstoppable. Yeah.
Can you tell us the code?
You got to buy the book.
Look at that plug right there. You want to know, you got to buy the book. It is important to know that there is a process to things.
Yes.
Success isn't an accident.
Right, it leaves clues.
It leaves clues, right? I mean, that's kind of a cliche, but it's true.
Yeah.
The reality is there is processes to things. There is a way to master your particular skill,
yeah.
But in addition to having that particular skill, you also have to master yourself,
yes.
And your own mindset.
Yes.
Can you talk a little bit about the transition you made and how you've built your business since retiring from baseball, once you figured out how you were going to apply all of those skills to mentoring and coaching? Can you tell us a little bit about that?
Sure. So the transition started in every sales position that you could possibly imagine, from selling solar to selling real estate to selling widgets to selling, I was selling everything. And then I went to work for a man named Tom Ferry, who was a gift for me at the time. And I had met my mentor, Matthew Ferry, who actually introduced me to his brother. I ended up working for him and helping him grow his company, became his director of sales of about 100 salespeople, and kind of cut my teeth through that, learned how to speak and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I went up through that company and started doing my own thing, and here we are today. And the lessons and the rapid speed at which all of it happened was pretty remarkable. Not that I was remarkable, but that, you know, once you commit, everything aligns and things just seem to show up. People ask me, like, how'd you learn how to speak in front of a crowd like that? How'd you learn to public speak? And I'm like, well, we had filled an event and our speaker was sick and couldn't make it, so they wanted to cancel the event. And I was like, that's not happening. I just spent 2 months filling this event. I'm going to go speak. And they were like, have you ever done it? I'm like, no, we'll figure it out. And I jumped out there and I did it. And the approaches that I had learned from baseball, the approaches that I learned from my mother and my mentors allowed me to get up and speak and deliver. And I realized, oh, that was a gift. That guy being sick that day allowed me to step up and see a gift that I didn't ever have before. To be able to,
or that you didn't recognize you had.
I didn't even know I had it.
Yeah.
I didn't know I could do that. And I just got up and did it, and I saw people's lives were changed, and I was like, I think I just found my purpose.
Wow. Just like that.
Yeah. And I realized then why baseball had went and ended. In that moment, I realized it.
Wow. What did that feel like?
It felt like I was never alone.
What does that mean?
Well, I think that when times get hard and we have a big transition like that, our mind likes to tell us that we're alone. But the truth is, there was something guiding me the entire time.
Wow, that's profound.
Yeah.
Did you have a moment with yourself when you had that realization? Were you on stage when you realized that?
No, I was done with it. I was back, walking back. It was just kind of easy. People were like, you know, you're not supposed to be able to just get up and do that, right? And I was like, do what? just kind of did it. And later on, me sitting there, because every morning I like to sit in silence a little bit, do a little bit of meditation, a little prayer, that kind of stuff. That's when it kind of hits you, right? Like, what I've noticed is that when I'm playing well, whether that's in baseball, whether that's in sports, whether that's in business or sales, or even in my relationship, the thing that gets me in the trouble the most, Silva, is my mind thinks I'm that smart. Where if I can quiet down the little voice inside my mind, there is something inside me that speaks so loudly, that's more of an instinct, that's more of a knowing, that's more of a confidence, that if we can calm down our mind from protecting us from things that aren't attacking, that thing gets to speak and it tells us. And that was that moment. That moment was like, did you enjoy that? Was that fun? Yeah, we did that on purpose. That's the direction you're gonna go now.
Wow, that's profound.
Yeah.
A lot of people are gonna wanna know, how do I get there? How do I find that voice? I know what you're talking about.
I know you do.
I have had those moments where you're like, oh, I hear you.
Yes.
And it makes you feel like you're a little bit nuts
because
you're talking to yourself or talking to the air.
And it might be telling you to go in a completely different direction than everybody else is saying.
Right. And it's, but it's a knowing.
Yep.
And I think that too is a skill.
Yes.
To be able to actually trust that knowing, mm-hmm. trust that instinct, trust that thing that's telling you and guiding you.
Yes.
In the face of bad advice, in the face of circumstances, in the face of peer pressure, in the face of everything, mm-hmm. right? It's a skill you cultivate and you develop. It's a muscle you work.
Yes, it is.
Talk to me about how do you do that?
Cool. So I think there's two ways, and it depends on where you're at in your life. I think there's two things you can do. You can control that little voice inside your head, the one that's going right now, the one that your listeners aren't, they're not even listening to me speak. They're listening to their inner voice interpret what I'm saying. How does he know? He doesn't even know I'm on here. Like, he doesn't know who I am. I wonder what she's doing. Where are they at right now? Like, and it's just going on. And I could use a sandwich. Like, we're going to use a sandwich. Right. Like, it just keeps going. One is to control that thing and control what it says. Is to say, look, I'm going to live inside of a relentless reality. I feel good. I feel amazing. Things are all working for my favor. This is going to be incredible. It's all going to work out. And just looking for everything moving your direction, you control that voice. The next phase, though, is where you shut that voice up altogether for periods of time. And that is the part that I was referring to a minute ago, where it's just, there's nothing there. There's no voice talking, chattering, I got to get this done. And that's a skill set, to be able to shut that thing up and just know, hey, I'm just going to enjoy this present moment.
In silence.
In silence, with nothing going on. Like, if you ask any pro athlete, when they're in the zone, you were up there and you did so good, what were you thinking?
Nothing.
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 They weren't thinking anything. How did you know to do that? Intuition, instinct, smarter than your mind
practice.
Will ever be.
Practice. Yeah. I spent 20 some odd years in front of a television camera and deliver the news, and people would ask me that all the time. What were you thinking right before your live shot? Nothing.
Yeah.
And they would say, well, what about your script? I wasn't thinking about my script.
Right.
I was thinking about nothing, because if I'm thinking about what I'm going to do, I am going to stumble.
Yeah.
Because your brain doesn't work as fast as your mouth sometimes.
That's right.
And it doesn't catch up. And
right.
And next thing you know, you're like, blah, blah, blah,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You. So being able to control yourself, your thoughts, your ability to shut out, and I always say, slow-mo your circumstances.
Yeah,
right?
I like it, yeah.
What's happening in the exterior, you
yeah.
press the pause, or everything is in slow motion,
yeah.
and all you're just focused on is that camera, and all I'm thinking about is that person sitting on the couch listening to me, and I'm looking them in the eye and telling them the story. I'm telling them about something. It is the only way I am going to connect with you at home. If I'm thinking about what I'm gonna say, I'm not gonna be able to tell you what's happening.
Right. Yeah.
And it's such a skill and a muscle to develop. It took me 20 some odd years to do that.
Yeah.
And to stop the voice inside.
How did you do that?
How did I stop thinking?
Yeah, you say, how did you develop that skill? Was it just repetition?
It was just repetition, a trial and error. And you know something I find people don't like doing? People don't like critiquing themselves.
Mm.
In my field, it required me to watch myself on the screen back.
You have to.
And look at my performance,
mm-hmm.
not only me judging myself, not judging myself, critiquing myself,
yep.
and constructive criticism, but also showing it to 100 other people.
Yeah.
And then taking what they had to say in, regardless of what they said,
yeah.
and always telling them, I want honest criticism.
Right.
And then figuring out over time, testing out things that they would recommend, listening to that voice inside, practice.
Yep.
If you think about it, 20 years, every single night, a live shot. That's a lot of live shots.
That's a lot of live shots.
And you being able to critique yourself is the and criticize yourself to it for the possibility of you reaching your greatness.
Yes.
Is like having a focus on the long-term goal and then having thick skin in the process.
Right. Well, what's interesting is that what I'm hearing from this that you didn't exactly say, but it feels like this is the case, is that you were so committed to being better that you weren't worried about being right.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, you were like, I'm totally open.
Can we put that on a quote card? Can I steal that?
Yeah.
Yeah, your commitment to greatness and your commitment to where you're going is so much bigger, and your purpose is so much more important than the pain of the process you forget about. So I always say, don't focus on the process, focus on the purpose.
Oh, that's good. That needs a quote card.
That is a quote card, actually.
Good.
Yeah, that I've made that into a quote card, because when I work with people about telling your story, you talk about our mind take over.
Yeah.
I always help people or tell people, inspire them to actually rewrite their story.
Yeah.
Just because you are where you are and it has happened the way it has doesn't mean it's the end.
Yeah.
the process and the failures is the story.
Yeah.
It is your opportunity to create inspiration,
right,
depending on what you do next.
Yeah.
And it's really up to you which direction you go. And once you create that, you create that story around what your life is and what your failure meant,
yeah,
then you're really focusing on the purpose and the process just becomes irrelevant.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that.
Wow, we can do this like all night.
Yeah, we could.
Yeah, but we're losing light. Oh. So, thank you so much for
being here.
This has been an incredible conversation with you.
Yeah,
for those of you who are not sure, I highly recommend you get the book, Find a Way. Lots of great gems in there, including the Find a Way code. Mm-hmm. But before we go, I have one more question.
Sure.
Okay, what is the story about the shark?
The story about the shark?
What is the story about the shark?
Nobody has ever asked me the story of the shark.
I think in my research, I saw it or I read it somewhere, yeah, and I was like, but he doesn't tell me the story about the shark. You can't do that to a reporter and just leave us hanging.
Yeah, so the story of the shark is I was in New Smyrna Beach, Florida, because I grew up in a place called Deltona, Florida, between Orlando and Daytona. And I'm in New Smyrna Beach with my buddy Brian, and we're surfing in the morning. Now, we had a marine biologist who taught us marine biology, obviously, at school. And she said, well, you know, when you go surfing, don't go when the sun's coming up and don't go when the sun is going down. That's feeding time.
In Florida?
Sharks. Yes.
That is very odd, right?
I was like, well, that's why, hence the story, right? I'm like, yeah, whatever.
Whatever.
So we go out there and we're doing it. And Brian, the undertow takes him way down, right? And so I'm like, hey, what are you doing? He's like, oh, my God, we'll see you on the inside, right? And so I'm sitting there in between sets, and I hear this flap, and I'm like, And now I'm over by the jetties and by the rocks, and all of a sudden I feel this, like, cinder block, boom, against my leg, and I'm like, I think I hit a rock. And I look down, and it's a bull shark, and he's circling me. And I was like, I got up on my board, and I just kind of leaned in and kind of sat on my board the whole way in, and I ran the rest of the way like it was going to chase me on land. And I just ran the rest of the way, and I'm yelling at my buddy, get in. He's like, what? I was like, I don't, just get in. And that scarred me for a long time. Like, even getting in the ocean now is kind of
a little scary.
It's a little scary.
Do you surf?
Not anymore. I did one other time in Hawaii, and I was with my buddy Don. He's like, how do you feel, man? This is Hawaii. I'm like, I feel like shark bait.
Oh my gosh. That is really something to get over.
That's, oh man, yeah.
Especially when you don't expect it, particularly in Florida. I have to say, it's very unusual. I live in Miami, and there's three or four sharks that always just swim right there by the people who are in the water swimming, and you're just like,
for the most part. And so I actually asked our marine biologist at our school, I said, you know, why would a shark bump me? And she's like, oh, they typically do that when they're trying to figure out if you're food or not. And I was like, oh, and then she said, well, did it bump you? I said, yeah. She said, what'd you do? I said, I froze in fear. She goes, that's probably the best thing, that you froze, because if you had splashed, things probably wouldn't have went that
way. Wow.
Yeah, so it was quite a, the only person that knows that story are my family and my best friend, Brian.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's scary.
Yeah, it's the shark story.
I'm glad you're
can't
okay.
Believe you found it.
I know, see, this is.
Look at you, this is what you do, right?
This is what I do. Before we go, please tell us how we find you, who would receive value working with you, where people can ask you questions about your mentorship and your programs.
Yep.
Tell us a little bit about that.
Yeah, so they can visit davidkesey.com or findawaybook.com. If they're trying to get the book, you can go to findawaybook.com or davidkesey.com. I've got a lot of free resources over there. I'm obviously posting a lot on social media. I do a lot of Q&As on Facebook and stuff like that. And anybody who wants to perform at a higher level in their business and life, I've been coaching everything from, you know, relationship to performing and making more money and growing a company to coaching professional athletes on their mindset and their performance. It's kind of been a wide array. I used to just primarily coach in one industry, and then they were like, you know, you're much more than that, right? Like, we need to take this book and go help other people. So I've kind of been branching out. So anybody that needs to win more in their business and life and knows they've, it really is this. If you know you've got more talent than you're fulfilling on, I'm the guy for you.
Yeah, everything from mindset to strategy to performance. Thank you so much for joining us
today. Thank you. This is awesome.
It's been
such
a fantastic conversation. And come back. Let's do this again.
I would love it.
Yeah. It's it'll be great. Yeah. We'll learn some more. And maybe by then, people would have read the book, and maybe we'll take some calls.
Yeah. That would be fun.
That would be interesting, wouldn't it?
Cool, yep.
Awesome. Thank you so much.
Thanks.
Thank you for joining us again. I'm Silva Harapetian. See you next time.
I'm Silva Harapetian. We talk ordinary people, extraordinary stories, living life on their own terms.